Speaking of subscriptions, I have fully pitched over the tent, and now Radio Ghosts, Adam's Motion of the Void, and Kiddery Emma's episodes are exclusively and only and privately available on a separate website to subscribers. You can listen live like this, or on partyfmradio.net at noon on Saturdays, or in Fredericton, Canada at 8 p.m. Saturday nights. But other than that, if you want old episodes or new and forthcoming episodes, I suppose you can't get the forthcoming ones, but they are forthcoming. And when they come and are no longer forth, you can get them. You have to subscribe. It's $2 a month. I put out four to six hours of whatever quality you want to rate this radio. Sound, shows, stories, chapters a month. You could try it. This is what I suggest. Pay $2, download everything, and then get out. Cancel right away. Download 100 hours of things. You do it in an afternoon and cancel. Why not? I don't have any rules about this. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not even going to notice. Why? Because Elliot never tells me anything about what's happening because he doesn't think I understand. And he's partly right. He's partly right. Oh, but I want to do this to thank some of the new subscribers. Here's a list of just some of the new subscribers. I'll say their first name and initial of their last name as part of the thanks. Rutherford C. Paul P. Gene M. Scott W. Mark D. Joe D. And that's Joe. Wait a little while. D. Not Jody, like Buffy and Jody. Bob L. Lost my place. Nola C. Kevin K. Double K. Two K's. You don't see that very often. Chris B. That's Chris Bott. Dirk A. Heather M. Julio. Theodore B. Christina S. Michael E. I should pick it up and go faster. Daniel B. I'll do that one again because I like the older the initials have the E sound. But I lost it. Michael E. Daniel B. Spencer C. Manuel R. Mark C. Chris M. Marguerite M. Scott D. Jason H. Oh, Christopher N. Stephen S. Thomas B. This is boring. I'm sorry. I've got to get it out. I want to thank them in song. Daniel P. Alex C. Ed C. And Doug B. And those are just a few of the recent subscribers. So join their lot. $2 a month and your name will get written up as a lyric in a wonderful song. How can you fight that? Join the confusion bag. All right. I was having trouble earlier getting online. I don't know if it's Skype that's doing it or taking power away from my microphone or rearranging things, but I turned it off, so I'm not sure. Maybe we'll try it afterwards. I'll look in the chat, see if anybody wants to call. Either let me know on Twitter or on in the chat room, and then I'll try to turn it on and we'll see if we perish. But why don't we listen to Sean's walk in the dark woods last night, late, cold, snow, no coat, no light, wolf.
You want me to just go down this way?
Yes, just keep going to the end.
And I can't, why can't I have a light?
Well, that wouldn't be as fun, I don't think, do you? Just go down. Don't forget to press the button for the recording.
I already started it. You actually pressed it, do you remember? Because you thought I would forget.
I don't remember doing that. But good for me. Smart thinking. Go. Just stop looking at me. Just go. And I'll be here. When you're done, come back. Don't take too long. I don't want a 40-minute piece. Do you know what you're going to talk about?
Well, you wanted me to talk about, like, a memory, right? But I think... I don't know if I have any memories. Wow, look at that moon. And look, it's like a planet right next to it. So it's actually about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. It's very cold. There's a little bit of a moon, sort of a smiley face moon. And this is all Dummy's idea. He didn't trust me. He didn't think I would be able to, that I'd remember or something. So he told me to come over. It's actually snowing out too. Okay, I'm just gonna walk in here until I find a quiet spot, if there is one. Maybe a quiet, warm spot. A quiet, warm spot without wind. Okay, it's crashed into a tree. I think that I am on the path here. So this is what he told me. He said, wear two coats, because it's going to be cold, and be prepared for the darkness. I don't want you to bring a light. So I am going to walk really slow. This dark forest. So when I was young, I just said that. I didn't have anything. I'm trying to prompt myself. When I was 11, and then I turned 20, and that's when I realized when I was 5, I went to Ireland for the first time. That's a memory. Both my parents, they were born in this country, but they're fully Irish, so we have a lot of relatives in Ireland. We went over there when I was 5. County Cork, the town of Glandore, which is right on the water, on the sea. But we went to my Uncle Paddy's farm, where I think I saw a cow give birth. And he's not really my uncle, he's my, you know, uncle twice removed. I guess the thing that I remember the most from that trip when I was 5 is that they, for some reason, let me drive a tractor, and I crashed it a little bit into a barn. That's how I remember it. And I still remember in my body the big shaking of the tractor hitting the barn. And then I felt like I had done the worst I remember feeling this great sense of doom. So I was in huge trouble, but then my Uncle Paddy just laughed. And I got the feeling that they were always driving into the barn. Like, he did it, his kids. Just about anybody who got on the tractor drove into the barn. And maybe even they set me up to do that. Which nobody would do nowadays. But back then, I think you had your kids, you know, slip off the roof into the pool and laugh at them. I don't know why, but that's how it felt like. So I remember that, this great sense of doom, and then this huge sense of relief when he laughed. And then funnily enough, I believe that driving that tractor was the first thing I'd ever driven in my life. Besides maybe a tricycle. And the other thing was that I wasn't wearing glasses at the time. There are photographs of me just standing there without glasses. And as it turns out, I have incredibly bad eyesight. 2900 in my left eye and 2600 in the right. So I'm legally blind without my glasses. And so the first 5 years of my life, I couldn't see anything. I guess. I don't remember. I don't know how I negotiated, but I guess driving into a barn when you're five and blind, you're in Ireland, and all you've got is a tricycle license. I guess that makes sense. I'm really cold, so I feel like I'm talking from within a glass of ice water. I'm just trying to hold on to my warmth. I went to Ireland again for school for a year to Galway, University College Galway. I guess I was 20. I didn't go to class much, as I remember it. I don't know how I got grades at all. I don't remember doing any work or going to class. I went to one class of each thing, and then I for some reason couldn't tolerate the experience. I felt so foreign. It was exotically painful for me to walk through the halls and sit down with all these Irish students who I just thought, I was susceptible to that notion that people with accents are automatically smarter than you. So everyone just seemed to be a genius. And all I had done so far in my life was crash into a barn and gotten my glasses. So I mostly skipped class and mostly, as you imagine, drank a lot of beer. A lot of Guinness. But I met some really nice people. My roommate, Dennis Quinn, who's now a lawyer out in California. A very interested in girls was Dennis Quinn. Never stopped talking about girls. He used to call me Horatio, which was his term of endearment. It was something out of Shakespeare. I remember he told me, I should know, I know Shakespeare a bit, but I don't remember the character. So, but he was also a really, really smart guy. He was going to Boston College at the time. He's a lawyer now in California. And for some reason, this detail sticks out. He likes to wear alligator boots now. But when I met him, you know, he was 20 and he liked girls. And he was one of those like streetwise smart guys. He was tough, but he was very, very quick and bright. And he was really articulate, but he'd worked at it. He was the sort of guy, like, he grew up in Holyoke, which is kind of a tough a tough area in Massachusetts. And I always imagined that the rest of his family spoke really kind of a hardcore Boston Irish, like they sounded like they were from Southie. But Dennis had a much clearer, I would call it unaccented voice, which I think he worked at. Sorry it's so windy. And Dennis and I, we shared a really small room in a really small house in Salt Hill, which is a sort of section of Galway. It was one of those houses, now in retrospect it reminds me of Four Privet Drive, where Harry Potter lives. Sort of row house type situation. It's a whole cascade of similar stucco fronted houses with small windows and small doors and small gardens and small driveways. And we had a very tiny room with our two little beds in it. And my other close friend, another guy, we went over, all of us, there were maybe 20 Americans that went over through this Beaver College exchange program. Beaver College. I didn't go to Beaver College, but they were the ones that handled the whole exchange. They kind of arranged for our flights. They did our whatever preparation. And another person on the trip was this guy, Jeremiah Ryan, Jay Ryan. And he was this, when I first saw him, he's like 6'6". He wearing blue jeans and giant Doc Marten boots and like a hooded sweatshirt, a zip up, but it was too small for his body, like it was a child's. And he was always listening to his Walkman, always listening to music. So you could never talk to him. Wherever he was, he had the little headset in. But he and I became pretty close. And I would say, you know, the guys that I hung out with, Jay and Dennis. And I'll see if I can find a picture, put it online if Sherwin lets me. And basically all we would do is carouse, to use an old 50s expression. We'd just go out and have beer and go from pub to pub. Not for any reason. We'd just drink in one place for a while and then move on. And then at this very early hour of 11, it always seemed amazingly early to me. All the pubs would shut down. And then the bartenders or pub keepers or whatever they're called would start calling out these sort of vague insults at the people who wouldn't leave. They weren't really insults, because there are things that these guys said every night, and it was a generic, and they were speaking to anyone who was there. There wasn't any real bite in it. So they would say, you know, don't you have homes to go home to? I can't remember. Things about a There was also a section of Salt Hill where there were all these discotheques. At least in my memory, discotheques. So, and they stayed open later, as I remember, to midnight or one. So after the pubs, many of which were halfway converted into an American's version of what an Irish pub might look like, because there were a lot of tourists in Galway, the people that owned the pubs had the, you know, smart financial sense to dress them up in the way Walt Disney might. But there were some, and there wasn't a lot of difference between the fake pubs and the real pubs, but you could always tell there was an element of dirtiness to the real pubs that just let you feel like you could sit down and relax and kind of, I don't know, you weren't on a ride. But after we'd, you know, drink at the pubs, we'd go. It was kind of a walk, maybe a half mile or a mile. We'd walk to the discos in Salt Hill. And we'd just sit there for another couple hours. It was very loud and hard to talk, but we'd be a little drunk anyway, so it didn't matter. And I guess the loudness and the craziness of it probably had some element of thrill. And that was it. I wouldn't go to class. In the days, I would go walk around the town. It smelled really richly of peat, burning peat, which has a really thick, maybe coal-like smell, a little sweeter. And I loved the smell, even though it smelled like this strange kind of industrial pollution almost. Where I lived, the little Privet, Fort Privet Drive, that's not really what it was. That's Harry Potter's address. We were maybe 200 yards from the ocean, and there was a long strand that went of, you know, a sidewalk that went along the ocean where people walked or ran, or strolled their babies along. So I just go out there, walk. I felt very lost. It was sort of an intensification of the lostness I was feeling before. Strange dislocation that had always been with me, of not quite being in the right place or knowing who I was or where I should be or what I should be doing, but intensified in that foreign land. On the weekends, Jay and Dennis and I would sometimes get a weird Irish loaf of bread and like a giant a giant brick of butter, and then like two or three bottles of something. I can't remember the brand names. I want to say it was Bushmills, but I don't know. And we would go to this peculiar, lonely promontory. It was like this strange green hill that was all alone and almost an island at the end of the beach that no one ever went to for some reason. It was astonishingly beautiful from, you know, just walking along the strand. You could see this thing curling out into the water, this big green. It didn't even look like, it looked fake or like something, you know, again, like something Disney would cook up. But we would go out onto this weird green hill with our bread and our, you know, gin or whiskey. And we just eat and drink and talk. Dennis would always talk about girls, as I said. Jay would always talk about music. Jay was crazy into music. Like, he was studying it. I didn't understand the intensity of his relationship to music. I loved music, but he was, he had this other thing about it. And he used to, every time I would see him, he would play. He would let me slip on his headphones, and he would play me something new. So I learned about The Fall from Jay. Neil Young. I had never really listened to Neil Young until Jay. The Cult. I never really loved The Cult, but I could appreciate them. I love The Fall, though, and I love Neil Young. Also, The Replacements, he introduced me to them. A really wide range of things. He wasn't just listening to one kind of music, but all kinds of music. Different jazz things he introduced me to. And one thing I remember, it was very strong. We were on a bus going somewhere. I think we decided to go to Dublin for a little while. I'm actually back on Sherwin's property here. He doesn't know it, but I got afraid of the woods. So he's inside. I hope he doesn't come out. So I'm just kind of walking around out here. So we're on a bus heading to Dublin. I don't know where we're heading. Maybe we went to Belfast too on a bus. So maybe that was it. And he leaned over to me and he said, "When I get back to the States," we called it the States because everybody in Ireland called it the States, and that was kind of our way of assimilating for each other. So he said, "When I get back to the States, I'm going to start up a band." And I thought that was really exciting because I always had musical feelings and musical desires, and I had a four-track and I played around with it. And I always felt like there was something in me that wanted to express itself musically, but I'd never had any lessons, or it seemed really impossible. But I always could get excited if I met people who were in bands or who wanted to start bands, anything like that. It was instantly attractive to me. But something remarkable to me, Jay did go back to the States, and he did start up a band, and they became they were a really critically acclaimed band. They were called, I think they're still sort of almost around still, even though they started out in the 90s. They're called Six Finger Satellite, and they were signed to the Sub Pop label back during the Nirvana days, when Sub Pop was the coolest, best label you could be on. And I'll play a Six Finger Satellite song. You know, it's not really something that everybody is going to like. It's pretty hard music. And I forgot to mention while I was out walking that Jay is the lead singer and synthesizer guy. This is an in-studio add-in that Sherwin made me do. I'm not alone. We'll be right back. I still keep up with Jay from time to time. He lives out in Colorado and has a couple kids. Not so much Dennis. But I miss them both. They were key figures in my younger life. Just to end this section on Ireland, there were a couple of Irishy songs that I also strongly attached to my time there. I think I heard them played in bars. I mean, there are always musicians in pubs over there at night, usually playing folk music, sometimes playing country and western. If you go to a real Irish pub where they're just Irish people, they're playing like country and western music. If you go to a fake one, they're playing Irish traditional music. That's how you know the difference. I don't know if that's true now. That's what it was then. So if we would go to a pub and there'd be like somebody playing Hank Williams, we'd know that was a real joint. Oh, another cool thing was when we went to one place where the Water Boys, it was a really small place, and the Water Boys showed up and played a little bit. I didn't know who they were at the time, so it was kind of a missed opportunity for me. Oh, and the last funny Irish thing. At one of those discotheques, it was earlier than that. Jay and I were sitting in some pub in downtown Galway, and we were, you know, probably like four Guinnesses each. And all of a sudden he taps me, and he goes, "There goes Richie the Sea." Because he always had this way of kind of talking obliquely, and he was very witty and always sort of with the Cheshire smile on his face. This big, huge guy, 6'5", with a Cheshire smile, really skinny, and kind of like a man who walked with a curve. You know, like if I would draw him, I wouldn't draw a straight line, I'd draw a curve. Almost like he needed a walking stick or something, but it was cool the way he was. So he says, "There goes Richie the Sea." And I turn and I see some guy, you know, wearing a baseball hat and followed by a couple other guys. I was like, what do you mean Richie the Sea? He's like, "Richie Cunningham." And I still didn't know. I thought maybe Richie Cunningham was some guy that came over with us in the Beaver College program that I didn't remember meeting. And then he says, "Come on, let's go follow him." And I'm like, "Why are we going to follow Richie the Sea?" And he's like, "No, man, it's Ron Howard." So we go out following Ron Howard down through Galway, and we track him all the way to this disco in Salt Hill. And we meet up some other people there, and they kind of attack him. You know, they circle him, and he's got two other guys with him, two writers, as it turns out, Lowell Gans and Babalu Mandel, I think. And they were there to scout locations for his Irish movie, Far and Away, the Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman thing.
For hundreds of years, his people worked the land, but they could never own it.
The bed in our house!
I'll work my own land someday.
From director Ron Howard comes the story of one man who wanted more.
I'll stab you through.
Ron Howard!
I'm Joseph Donnelly of the family Donnelly that you pushed off our land.
I remember I was pretty drunk, but I had this strong sense of propriety. I didn't feel like we should be bothering Richie the Sea. So, as my really, really drunken other friends, and Ron Howard was completely sober, completely deadpan sober, and was just I guess, researching. I mean, he wasn't drinking, but all these Americans around him drunk. And I was sort of slowly trying to peel them away and reason with them, you know. I would say, hey, come on over here. I don't think we should be doing this to Ron Howard. You know, he just wants to have a peaceful time. He's trying to get away from America. And all, what does he find? You know, all these hammered Americans, you know, pestering him about, you know, Parenthood or some movie. And of course, nothing I said had any effect on anybody. And then at the end of the night, I realized, wow, I really wish I'd talked to Ron Howard. Like, it would have been better if I was another one of these, you know, drunken Americans, just to get a question in there and have a little moment with him. And he's such a strange person to me, Ron Howard. He's just very enigmatic. He sort of seems like a glass not there and yet full. It's just hard to penetrate him. But a couple of the Irish songs I came away with, they're still swing around in my head, you know, from time to time, and I would say all the time, they're there. I almost feel like daily. And they're songs that I have come to think of as in the way that the Dubliners perform them. So I'll play one of those. Maybe the old woman from Wexford. It goes like this. Well, there was an old woman from Wexford, and in Wexford she did dwell.
Well, there was an old woman from Wexford, and in Wexford she did dwell. She loved her old man dearly, but another one twice as well. When me tiggery, yiggery, yowrum, and me towrum, towrum, ta. She went to a doctor, some medicine for to find. She said, will you give me something that'll make me old man blind? Me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Says he give him eggs and marrow bones and make him suck them all. And it won't be so very long after that he won't see you at all. When me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Doctor wrote a letter and he signed it with his hand. He sent it to the old man just to let him understand. With me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Well, she fed him the eggs and the marrow bones and she made him suck them all. And it wasn't so very long after that he couldn't see the wall. With me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Said, old man, I think I'll drown myself, but that might be a sin. Sissy, I'll come along with you and I'll have to shove you in. When me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Well, the old woman, she stood back a bit for the Russian push him in. But the old man gently stood aside and she went tumbling in. When me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. She did yell, and how loudly she did bawl. Get a howl, you wish, old woman, to see, and I can't see you at all. When me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Ask your eggs and marrow bones may make your old man blind. But if you want to drown him, you must creep up close behind. When me tiggery, 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 and me tiggery, tiggery, ta. Hey, tiggery, 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 man, don't lie, man, he could see.